All right. Well, first off, I want to thank you guys for having us out. My name is Michael. I'm the program director at Teen Challenge, and we're actually 10 minutes down the road, so we're pretty much neighbors, so you should know what we do, right? So I just want to give you guys a little bit about a little bit of history about the program and how this ministry was founded, because this is an international ministry that's been around since the 1950s. There are over 1,100 Teen Challenge locations in, I think, over 70 different countries. So this ministry is all across the world, and it's helping guys just like me and just like these guys everywhere. It was started in 1950s by a man named David Wilkerson. He was a pastor in Pennsylvania. And there was a, do y'all remember Life magazine? I was this, that was older than me, but apparently it was a big deal back then. So there was on the cover of a Life magazine, there was a story about some teenage gang members from New York that were on trial for murder. And David Wilkerson saw this article, and the Lord just was stirring in his heart. He said, "Man, what is going on over there? I need to help these guys." So he fasted and he prayed, and he went to New York, and he wanted to reach those guys that were on trial. And he was for a country preacher, so he didn't know how the court system worked. He just walked into the courtroom and was trying to talk to him. So he ended up getting thrown out of the courtroom. So it wasn't as easy to reach those particular guys that were on trial as he thought. But what he did do was he reached a man named Nicky Cruz. Nicky Cruz was a gang leader there in New York, and he went down to their gang hideout or whatever you call it, and he kept trying to witness to them, kept trying to tell them about the love of Jesus, and they didn't want to hear anything about it. And one of the things he said that was the beginning of Nicky Cruz giving his life over was Nicky Cruz said, "I'll cut you. I'll cut you." And David Wilkerson said, "You could cut me into a million pieces, and each piece would cry out, 'I love you.'" And that was when, you know, the love of Jesus is powerful, isn't it? I mean, and that reached, and Nicky Cruz is a traveling missionary to this day. So here was a man that was caught up in a kind of sin, a lifestyle that he didn't know any different. But when he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus, everything changed. So that beginning was the beginning of Teen Challenge. As you can see, these guys are not teens. So it started out, he was trying to reach the youth. He was trying to reach the teenagers that were having trouble, that needed to hear the love of Christ. And as the years went on, they realized, you know, sin affects everybody. It doesn't just affect a certain age group. It affects everybody. So that's how Teen Challenge was started. And our particular Teen Challenge is right up the road there. It's actually where John Wesley Bible College used to be, on the old campus. So it's kind of set up like a college campus. And it's a 7-month discipleship program. It's a residential program, so the guys live there and work there. And they're able to do Bible studies. They're able to go to churches just like this one. They're able to experience the love of Christ in different ways. You know, if you don't believe in miracles, come to Teen Challenge and talk to these guys, and you'll believe in it. Because every single one of them has a story to tell about how good our Lord and Savior is, including myself. And I got a wedding coming up on Sunday, so I'm thinking about that too. I'm really, really excited. That's just how far I've come. 2011 was the lowest point in my life, and I want to tell you guys about that. I was I was raised in a good home by a good mom. My dad passed away when I was seven years old, but I knew what love was. I knew what right and wrong was. I was taken to church. I knew the right thing, but I strayed away from it, and there's nobody to blame but myself. And I wanted to do my own thing. And, you know, over the years going back and forth, it never got me anywhere. And 2011 is when it came to a head. I was drinking a lot. I was kind of like doing just whatever I wanted to do. I mean, when you live without purpose, there's no reasoning behind your decisions at all. You don't have a purpose. And without Christ, we don't have a purpose. So in 2011, I got a couple of DWIs real quick. I mean, I didn't have any hope of any better life than what I was living. I mean, on that, from the outside looking in, I was in graduate school. I was, pretty smart guy. I had a lot of good things, a lot of things to be proud of. But inside, man, I was hopeless. And I came to realize that what was missing was Jesus. That's what was missing. And so, I realized that I needed help. So let me tell you this. My sister had always been telling me about Teen Challenge. And I never heard of it. I thought, like probably you guys thought, that it's a program for teenagers. I did everything I could to avoid having to go to Teen Challenge. Okay, and I finally told her, I said, well, I'll go to this place, I'll go to that place. And so I made a little list of places that I would go to get help, and Teen Challenge was at the bottom. I mean, it was last. It barely even made it on the list. It was really on there just because my sister, you know, made my sister happy. Well, February 1st, 2012, I had an accident and broke my neck. I broke my second and third vertebrae. It's what they call a hangman's fracture. Okay, so I had to have. They brought me in. They did the X-rays. They looked at it. They said, "Man, it's a miracle that you're not paralyzed. It's a miracle that your spinal cord stayed intact." You know what I mean? And so that was when I knew that God was real. I knew that God had his hand on my life right then. And that was when it was when everything started to fall into place for me after that. So I went and I had the surgery that had to fuse my vertebrae together and all kinds of screws and rods holding that together. It was scary, man. I had, not only did I not have no hope, and then you have that happen to you, you know, if you don't have Jesus in your life, you're just doing it on your own, and that's a rough thing to go through on your own. And so I didn't know what the recovery was going to be like. I would ask the doctor, "Will I be able to play golf again? Will I be able to do this?" And he'd say, "Man, I don't know. I don't know what you'll be able to do. Just pray that the operation goes well and everything, and just be thankful." That's what he told me, and I was. So when I had that procedure done. The grace of God saw me through, and then I still, needed some help, right? And so I went through and I started calling on that list, and they would ask me about my medical history, and I would have to tell them, "Well, I'm in this big neck brace. I just had the C2, C3 fusion," and apparently that's not a good thing to hear. So they said, "Oh, you can't come here. You're too much of a liability." That's what they would tell me every time. "You're a liability." Being this big neck brace is sticking away at the back. It came all the way down here. And I would call. No. I was getting doors slammed in my face left and right. And before I knew it, every place on that list had been crossed off of Teen Challenge. And suddenly, Teen Challenge was looking pretty appealing. So I'll never forget it. I was desperate. It's amazing how the last thing you ever think to do becomes the most important to you. And so I called Wayne Dewsbury, our intake coordinator, and I explained to him what happened, and told him I was in a neck brace. Can't lie about that, because you're going to show up and they're going to see it. So I showed up, and he gave me the okay to come, and that was the beginning of my journey with Christ. I mean, that experience, I knew that God was real, and I could not deny it. And as soon as I stepped foot on the Teen Challenge campus, was my journey of faith and my journey of learning how to fully rely on God with everything, the path that I'm still walking today. So one of the first scriptures that we learn in Teen Challenge is 2 Corinthians 5:17, and it's, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come." And that's a message of hope for anybody that ever gets caught up in sin. man, we are a new creation. As soon as we invite Jesus into our hearts, and we allow Him to dwell within us, that the former things are gone, and we can start a new life. And I remember reading Jeremiah 29:11. Man, that was the coolest verse when I read that, memorized that. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And I clung to that verse, man, because that was the very beginning of trying to rebuild things in my life. And it was a long journey. But God made me a promise. That day that I read that verse, that was a promise from God that He was going to restore everything that was taken from me. Everything that I willingly gave away to living for myself, He restored it. I went through the program. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. The program, what makes it different than other programs is other programs focus on the problem. They want you to learn about the problem. They think if you can just be educated enough about your problem, you'll be able to fix it. But Teen Challenge focuses on the answer and the solution, and that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's that simple. That doesn't make it easy, but it's simple. It's just a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so here I am today. I'm still working at Teen Challenge. Still get to work with these guys on a daily basis. I've gotten my driving privileges back, which I never thought was ever going to happen. That took a long time. I've got a great job that I don't even think of as a job. I mean, I show up and I talk about Christ, and I help these guys with the problems, trying to keep them from following the rules and stuff like that. But, what job can – I mean, there's not many besides Mark that might have a job where you can just talk about God all day long. You know what I mean? And you can bust out a Bible and do a Bible study, and your boss walks by and they're proud of you. You know? You might have to do that on your own time. That's what a lot of jobs are like. And I've got a lovely, lovely – soon-to-be wife, and that's, I've got the woman that I prayed for over 4 years ago when I was in the program, and one that makes me proud to share my testimony, to get up here. It's not easy to get up here and tell you all the bad stuff you're doing in your life. It's not, but I don't have to be ashamed to tell my story and what I've been through and what God has brought me through. I'm proud of it. I'm proud of it because God's getting the glory every time I share. And as nervous as it makes me getting up here, I am not in this position for my public speaking skills at all. But, never waste an opportunity to share what God's done in your life. As hard as it is, don't do it. And when I ask these guys, you're going to hear from some of these guys too about their testimony, they usually just, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it. Because there's so much power in proclaiming what God's done in your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I'm going to turn it over to these guys. If y'all want to come up. We've got a choir, like one of the other staff members says, well, we didn't get a Teen Challenge by being choir boys. Usually, I don't think I delivered it right. But it's the truth. But we get up here and we praise the Lord in our song. We praise the Lord in our testimony. So, first thing, I'm going to let all the guys introduce themselves. I've got two of the guys are going to give sort of detailed testimonies, but I'm at least going to pass the mic around and let these guys introduce themselves, okay? Start with Julian.
How y'all doing? I'm Julian. I'm 20 years old. I'm from Statesville, and I've been at Teen Challenge for about 3 months now, and Lord's just doing a big work in my life and delivering me from all sorts of troubled relationships and addictions.
I'm John, and God saved me from a drug addiction, and just I was really living wrong, and He's just doing wonders in my life, and I thank Him every day for that. Thank you.
My name is Randy Chavis. I am from Laurinburg, North Carolina, and I can't deny God's real. He saved me from some very bad stuff, so I'm glad to be here.
My name's Kenny Lamberti. I'm from Richmond, Virginia, and I'll be giving y'all some more details here in a minute.
I'm Josh from Charlotte, North Carolina, and I've been in the program for about 4.5 months, and, you know, God's helping me with some of my struggles. You know, like Mike said, following the rules sometimes, but nothing good comes easy, so I'm blessed. Thank you.
My name's Chad. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. God saved me from about 10 years of addiction and alcoholism, and basically saved my life. So,
hey, y'all doing, guys? My name is Bobby Hicks. I'm from Greensboro. I'm actually only been in the program for 3 days, but it's the best 3 days of my life, let me tell you. Amen. These guys are brothers. We have a great time. We study the Bible. It's just a blessing. Thank you.
I'm Tyler Powley. I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina, and God is doing big things for me at Teen Challenge.
I'm Branson. I'm 24 from Washington, D.C., and God's delivered me from years of that battling heroin addiction and in and out of jail my whole life, so praise God.
My name is Maverick. I'm 24, and I'm from Greensboro.
I'm Austin White. I'm from Hartsville, South Carolina. God saved me from death and addiction, and I have never been happier in my life as of 3 weeks in Teen Challenge.
My name's Colt Manus, and I'm going to be sharing a little bit more of my testimony with you here in a hot second.
My name's Harry Green. I'm from Lynchburg, Virginia, and I've been in the program about a month, and I'm blessed to be here with a great group of guys, and God's working in my life.
My name's Cameron. I'm from Knoxville, Tennessee. I was basically disappointed to wake up every morning and threw almost everything away, and God's given it all back with joy. Thank you.
Glory of the risen King, Jesus. lightning, let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. You are mighty to save.
How's everybody doing tonight? Well, it's going to be kind of hard for me to follow Mr. Mike Hill up. He did a pretty good job. But I just want to thank y'all for the opportunity to share my story with y'all. And like he said, I just give all the glory to God, because without Him I wouldn't be here today. But my name's Colt Manus. I'm 26 years old, from Robbins, North Carolina. So, from the country a little bit, so y'all bear with me, all right? But I was raised in a church going home with my mom and my dad. I got four siblings, and we would go to church, but what happened in church would stay in church. They didn't carry it home with them. And there was a whole lot of hostility in the home, so really, between my parents, my dad would get upset, and I would catch a lot of the wrath from it. So I grew up real rough. So from a young age, I kind of strayed away from my family. I kind of stayed to myself. I put a lot of my faith in other things, and one of those things was like my grandpa. So I would escape from my house, and I'd go stay with my grandpa and everything, and we'd go fish and all the fun things that I did. All my good memories as a child was with my grandpa. And when I was about 11, my parents ended up getting divorced, and kind of sent me. It upset me. I like to put up a front and say it didn't upset me, but I was torn between both my parents. I would go stay with one, and then I would go have to stay with the other, and it put a lot of anger in me. And right after that happened, I ended up losing my grandpa, so that put a lot more anger in me. And I wasn't raised to talk about any of my feelings, any of that. I just held it all in, and once it got too much to hold in anymore, I would lash out at school, family members, just anybody I was around, anything like that. But that got me into a lot of trouble when I was younger. I moved around schools a good bit. But about the age of 17, 18, I ended up trying to go out and do it on my own. And when I went to do that, I kind of put a... I didn't have anywhere else to put any faith, so I put my faith into the world. And I tried to seek that acceptance that I wanted so bad in friends and worldly things. And that really, really got me nowhere. Worldly things will pass away. There's only one thing that don't pass away, and that's God. But by putting my faith in all those worldly things and seeking that acceptance, I got around all the wrong people, and they led me down the wrong paths. And I got introduced to drugs and all that mess. But after getting introduced into drugs, it started out real as like a hobby, I guess, something
to just do on the weekends with my friends. And it was like that for a long time. But I went to Randolph Community College, and I was still doing like the weekend thing. It wasn't real serious in my eyes. But one night I took it a little bit far and ended up going fishing real late one night. I was on my way home, and I ended up falling asleep behind the wheel, and I went head-on with a transfer truck in a little Toyota Camry. And it was driver's side to driver's side, so that was probably my first wake-up call. That I should have died. The doctors told me I should have died, and a couple weeks after that, I saw a couple other people get in accidents not nearly as severe as mine, and they didn't make it. So I knew God had his hand over me at that point in time, but I don't know what it was. I still didn't put my faith in it. I went back to the same old ways. But I ended up breaking my femur, and I was about 19, I believe, and it took me maybe 2 years to recover from that accident and fully get to where I could walk normal again. I went from a wheelchair to a walker to a cane and still walked with a limp for a long time. And while I was recovering, the doctors introduced me to prescription painkillers. And that was probably the worst thing they could have did. They gave me the medication, and at that point in time, I needed it, or what they thought I needed it. So by the time I got better, they ended up taking me off of it, and before I knew it, I was addicted, and it went downhill from there. After that, I ended up just having to go through whatever means possible to get the painkillers from people around me, friends, family, whatever I had to do. And for a long time, I lived like that and held a job. I kept it together reasonably well and hid it from my family and everything. And it progressively, with an addiction, it progressively gets worse. You can start little, but it went from me starting as like just a weekend hobby thing in the beginning to a full-blown addiction that controlled every aspect of my life. And by the end of it, it was maybe about a 6-7 year span. By the end of it, I lost my job. I couldn't keep a job, much less go to work, anything like that. I pushed all my family away. Anybody I loved, cared about, was just keep me at arm's length. So all the friends I thought I had was friends that wanted me for one reason, and that was for painkillers. Just like I kept them around, basically. So after that, it progressively got worse for me, and I got to a point where I was just I had lost my job, and with an addiction, you can't just quit. So I ended up stealing things from my family, stores. I did basically whatever I had to do to get my fix for the day. And it ended up being more like a prison to me, because I'd wake up and I had it in my head like I had to do whatever I had to do to not be sick for that day. And then I just continued on, and I did that for months, and that's no way to live. I think back, and, man, I was so hopeless. I was so hopeless. And I got to a point where I just wanted, like, I thought I was going to be like that forever. Like, I didn't see myself being any other way. I thought I was going to die hopeless and ask for it some nights. It was completely insane now that I think about it now. But I ended up just getting to my low point, and my family obviously saw how bad I was doing, and they wanted to get me help. And when you're in something like that, that's you think you know it all. You think it's not a problem. You think all this stuff, but you're really in denial, and you don't want to do anything to help yourself, much less do anything that could encourage just a normal way of living. I thought what I did was a normal way of living. But I ended up breaking down and talking to my parents, and they found me Teen Challenge, which I didn't really know too much about it at the time. And really, when I got there, I was just looking for maybe, I wanted to please my parents, and I might have been looking for like some clean time. I didn't go for a relationship with the Lord or anything like that. I went to just get my parents' approval or whatever and get some clean time. But I got there March 31st of this year, and before I knew it, I had done rededicated my life to Jesus. It took April 9th I rededicated my life to Jesus. And I'd like to tell you it's been easy since then, but I've never been too quick a learner. And me and Mike got real close. He put me on discipline a couple times. But I learned from those. I'm thankful that he put me on it, because that's when I learned the most. But since I've been there, I've really got that missing link that I never had before. I've got that relationship that I needed. And it wasn't with the world. It was with my Savior, Jesus. And, man, the world, like I said, the worldly things will pass away, but he's never left me. He'll never leave me. And since I've been there, he's really been working in my life. It took me a little while to really get adjusted, but after I figured out that it's not a boom, you get it all at once. It's more of like, for me, you surrender things slowly. Once you come from where I've been, it's a process. And I'm happy to say that I graduate Friday. I've got 2 days left. Thank y'all. Thank you. But it's really been a struggle for me. And I've learned a lot. I've saw him restore my family that I pushed away. I actually gave my testimony at my mom's luncheon. She's got a ladies' luncheon, and she volunteered me for it. And I'm not a public speaker by no means. But I'm so glad that I was obedient and listened to him, because it's been the greatest blessing I ever could have received. I really thought a blessing was like winning the lottery or something like that. But turns out there's a lot better things than winning the lottery. But I went and I gave my testimony in front of my mom, her side of the family, which I ain't saw in years. They really didn't know what was going on. And I looked in my mom's eyes and I saw that she was proud of me for the first time in I don't know how long. And it was nothing that I've done. It's because I was obedient and let him work through me and just listen to what he just did his will for me, and I'm so thankful that I did. But he's just did so much for me. Yesterday was my birthday, my first sober birthday in probably about 8 years. And, man, you'd think it wouldn't be fun to have your birthday in Teen Challenge, but, man, I'm telling you, it was probably one of the best birthdays I've had in a long time. And I just enjoy waking up every morning with these guys and getting to see them and watching what he can do in their lives, not only mine. And it's just, man, he's delivered me from an awful, awful life, and I'm so thankful for it. But yesterday I went and saw about a job or whatever, and I don't have the best track record at jobs, let me tell you. But before I knew it, he had already had me a job lined up. I start Monday, so he's really ordered my steps for me, and I couldn't be more thankful. But I appreciate y'all for letting me share everything with you guys. Thank y'all.
I don't know if I can top his, but I'll do my best. My name's Kenny. I told y'all that earlier. From Richmond, Virginia. I'm 24. I'll try and speed through the early parts of life. It's kind of boring. I grew up in a, you know, normal household. We didn't go to church every Sunday or anything. Our church was racing motorcycles. That's what I grew up doing, traveling around the country, doing that. That was kind of what brought our family together, and, you know, that's what we did as a family. When I was 17, I lost my mom and my stepdad in a motorcycle accident. And that really turned my world upside down. But me being the hard-headed guy I am, instead of dealing with it, I just kind of put my head down and, you know, put my face in the wind and kept on going. And I was junior in high school, and they didn't leave me, you know, a fortune or anything. So I didn't have any money. I was working and going to school full-time, living on my own, and I had just turned professional and racing motorcycles, so I was doing that full-time. And anyway, needless to say, being 17 and having your own house and a little bit of money in your pocket, not the best recipe. got wrapped up in some, you know, partying and, you know, drinking, and I won't go into those details. But at 19, I, well, first I got a DUI at 19, and a couple months later, I broke my femur for the second time. And in a motorcycle accident, and broke my femur in my shoulder, and I was I had enrolled to college, so that was a good thing, and things were going great. Life was, you know, in my eyes or in the world's eyes, I had everything that I ever wanted. I'd achieved my goals. You know, like I was on the right track. And then I break my leg, couldn't work, couldn't race, couldn't make money. Was forced to drop out of college because I couldn't go to classes. So I was kind of stuck at that point in my life, too. And I sent up a prayer. It was on a whim. I didn't pray much throughout my life. But I sent up a prayer, and I knew I wasn't happy, even though, you know, I had those things before. And I knew something wasn't right. So I actually prayed for God to send me a godly woman, you know, a woman that would keep me grounded and help me get through life and all those things. And he did. I didn't realize he did when he did, but he did send me that woman, and she's now my wife. So we got married at 21, and everything was going great again. We were both seeking the Lord and going to church every Sunday, and God blessed me with a great job, great money, new cars, you know, all the blessings that he could bless me with, I was getting, you know, a beautiful wife, all that stuff. Somewhere along the line, I forgot where all that stuff came from, and if you know what I mean, I forgot that those were all blessings, and ended up really being focused on my work and making money and getting the next promotion, and I let my wife wasn't important to me anymore. Church wasn't important to me anymore. And somewhere in the middle of that whole web, somebody at my work had some prescription painkillers and gave me a couple, and I took them. And it was not a big deal at that time, but what it led to would end up being a big deal. And it advanced pretty quickly. And I think over the years from all my injuries with motorcycles that I probably had a dependency for pain medication and didn't really realize it. So anyway, lost my job. This is all in the course of about a year. Lost my job. Basically started, you know, lying to my wife. She wasn't happy. Marriage wasn't going well. It was tough for that year. Got to the end of, well, I guess Memorial Day of this year, and my wife, I guess, had reached the end of her rope. And, well, let me back up before I start talking about this. I'm very thankful that my wife is still and always was a godly woman, because if she wasn't, she probably would have left a long time ago. So that's a testimony in itself. But she got the end of her rope and tricked me into thinking we were going to a cookout on Memorial Day. And I walked into the room, and it wasn't a cookout, it was an intervention. And I was pretty mad about it. So anyway, she had this letter typed up, and she sat down, she read it to me, and it made me cry. And anyway, I realized that on that day that I had to make some choices, and you know, that I was at a crossroads in my life, and I could go one way or I could go the other. And anyway, that she had picked out Teen Challenge for me ahead of this. She looked up different places for me to go and get help, and she found Teen Challenge, and they offer a you know, a program for people that are married to be able to see their spouses and kind of counsel them through, you know, or us through the recovery process together. And that was the main reason she wanted me to go to Teen Challenge, this Teen Challenge specifically, because not all of them offer it. So I didn't really have a choice. I said I had choices, but I didn't really have a choice. So I came to Greensboro from Richmond, and I haven't looked back, man. And God's been working in my life since then, and me and my wife are closer than ever, than we've ever been, even before we got married, just through the, I don't know how to explain it other than God's working in our marriage, and he's worked in me, and she's growing in her relationship with the Lord, and I just really think, you know, being where I am, that I'm in the will of God, and he's blessing me through that, and blessing us, and it's amazing to see God work in our life and in our marriage, and it's great. And I thank Teen Challenge, because if I didn't come there, then you know, God couldn't have used Teen Challenge and the staff at Teen Challenge, Mike, and even all these guys to, you know, influence my life and bless my life and grow me to where I am today. And I know that there's still, you know, I'm still growing, and it ain't over yet, but I'm in a lot better place than I was, and I'm very thankful for that. And yeah, God's just blessing me every day, and I look back and see the progress, and it's amazing. And the things that I used to worry about when I first came to the program or first got down here, you know, like what I was going to do for work when I got out of here, or you know, how I was going to save my marriage and all that stuff, it's all just kind of fallen into place. I mean, I've had my rough days and worries and doubts and all that stuff, but God's really put it into place, and I've gotten job offers being in here, not even looking for them back home, and my wife is just blows me away the way she treats me still after what I've done and all that stuff. And I know that she didn't do that on her own strength, and I just thank God every day for that. And that's it. It's my story. Sticking to it.
Free.
That is our program. That's all we got. Thank you guys so much for having us and allowing us to share our testimonies and our songs up here and allowing us to be guests in your church. I just wanted to tell you I've got some copies of Crossing the Switchblade. This is it's a condensed version, but this is the book that David Wilkerson wrote about the story of how he started Teen Challenge. It's a real good book. I've got a lot of copies if you guys would like to know a little bit more about Teen Challenge, and we've got a lot of brochures. When we go to different churches just like this one, usually we'll ask, like, by a show of hands, you know, do you know anybody that's struggling with addiction, or you yourself, or relative, or anybody you know? And usually 75% or more of the hands go up, because it's a real common thing these days, and the government's not going to save it. The politics isn't going to save it. It's the church that's going to save it, because the answer is Jesus, and that's what we got to point people to. So if you'd like some more information about our program, also we'll give a Blessing Dells plug here. We got a thrift store on our campus that helps support our ministry. If you have any items that you'd like to donate, like household items, furniture, things like that, we can come and pick it up from your house, big furniture items and stuff, and we sell it there on campus too, so you can come visit and shop. We've got like 12 acres over there. It's right behind the Krispy Kreme at the intersection of Gate City and Holden Road. So y'all come by and visit the campus. Yeah, like I said, we've got 12 acres. It's a big campus there. Sometimes we do like outreach events out in the field there and everything. So y'all are welcome to come visit our thrift store and just come by and say hey. So that's it. Thank you so much, and thanks, Mark, for having us.
appreciate Michael and all these guys. Thank y'all again. What a blessing. Thank y'all so much. Appreciate you giving God the glory. And I know some of you, you know, you're different stages probably in your own journeys. And so we'll pray for you. Okay? We'll commit you to the Lord and pray for you. Thank y'all for being here tonight. It's been a real encouragement to my heart, and I trust it has to yours. So I'm going to ask Tico, if he would, just to close us in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on these guys. I know the debate's getting ready to start, but I'd encourage you, if you could stay around. This is more important, I think, but that's my opinion. So I think this is going to change the nation more than either one of those people are. But but I'd encourage you to stay around and talk to these guys if you can. Get to know some of them as long as they can stay. And Tico, you just pray for us if you would.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for the request that went up earlier. And Father, we lift Teen Challenge up to you and the ministry that it's doing just throughout the country. Father, we thank you for each guy here. We thank you for each life that's been changed as a result of that ministry. And Father, we just thank you that you're the foundation of that work. And we thank you for David Wilkinson and what he did, the courage and the faith to just get this thing started and the risk that he took. And Father, the fruits are many, and we just thank you for that. Father, again, we just pray that this ministry will continue. We just pray that more guys will graduate, more guys will come in. And we just pray that lives will be changed as a result. Father, again, we thank you for this time. We ask you to give us a safe journey home tonight. And we just pray that you'll be glorified as a result of this meeting. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.